This is a journey into sound.
One for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
Deep Radio Network.
You're listening to The Edit.
It's 7 o'clock. Your boys Jägerrosser are back on the radio.
It's upon the hour to come amongst you and amaze you with absolute, incredible, out-of-this-world-type sounds. Look out, here we go.
We would like to welcome to The Edit Studios our guest from this weekend, the one and only Mr. CJ McIntosh. Welcome to The Edit.
Thank you very much. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm good.
How's the weather in your neck of the woods? It's nice and sunny up here today for a change. It's been peeing it down for the last 3 months, but what's it like in your neck of the woods?
It's actually the same, yeah. Sunny. Chilly, but sunny. But so it's quite nice.
So we've got you on, mate, because obviously you played for us at the weekend, and what a fantastic night, what a great set as well, mate.
Thank you.
One of the first questions is, mate, is I think you're having a bit of a renaissance at the moment, and when you played, especially when you played Takeport, I was there just before you went on, but I listened to your Takeport, mate, and it was brilliant. And again, it was another brilliant set to edit. Why do you think you sort of, you know, you've always been around, mate, but are you getting more bookings? Or is it still pretty much the same?
Well, I think this year it started better probably than the last probably couple of years, you know. But I'm not sure why. I mean, obviously a lot of the gigs I do, they will ask for a classic house set, which is it's fine. Even though I do like to play new stuff as well, but if they want a classic house set, it's fine. But maybe where I've been doing a few of them over the last two, three years, and then people have heard, and then they want me to do it there, and then it was there, and so obviously more gigs will appear. And I mean, I don't really get that much in London anymore. It's mostly down south or up north, so
yeah.
And they want to hear the classic house stuff more than they probably do in London. London's probably got its own scene.
Yeah.
There's nights going on and stuff with Soulful House, but it's probably more deep and got deep house nights going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been good. I've enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed it. Playing, digging into the collection, trying to find the stuff I used to play. Sometimes I just can't find it quick enough. And obviously now it's digital. You want some of this stuff digitally. And I'm actually thinking now to bring some vinyl as well, because I don't really get time to record. If I need to record it.
Yeah.
That takes such a long time to just clean it up, get it to sound as good as some of the digital stuff that's been remastered. That you can hear the difference.
Yeah, yeah. So just linking onto the vinyl then and going back, I think a lot of people out there listening to the show at the moment, I know personally what a pivotal person you've been in terms of the UK house scene. But going right back to it, mate, what were your sort of backgrounds, and how did you get into house music, and when did you produce your first house music record? Because I think a lot of people won't know that we were speaking to a certain Mr. Wolf the other day about how well you helped him with something over the past few years.
Yeah, yeah. I worked with Mr. Wolf quite a few times over the years. When I was a youngster, I was into all sorts of music. I wasn't ever into one style. I'm talking probably from in the 70s I was into, pop music generally and growing up. But, I was into some funk stuff. I got into punk. I got in the new wave. Whatever. I mean, my brother Lawrence, he was quite a big influence. He was 2 years older than me, but he was always seemed to be ahead buying stuff that was, he bought rap first time I heard it in the late 70s, and then disco before that, and so he was buying stuff and I was hearing what he was buying. And then mean, even house music, even though it was probably around and we were probably playing some kind of, you know, what's the first house record they say, Jesse...
Jesse Saunders On and On, don't they? Yeah,
you know, they say that, you know, you listen to it, you say, yeah, I can hear the kind of house sound in there. I mean, that was 1984. Not that I ever bought that record, I didn't know, you know, I didn't buy that record, but there were similar records around that we were playing as well. So, you know, house was, to me, was just a kind of continuation of the disco sound, but it became electronic. And then the first time I actually heard proper house was again Lawrence. You know, he went to buy, I wanted a record by Trouble Funk called Let's Get Small. He used to work in the West End.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, so he used to work in the West End, and I rang him and I said, look, you know, Bluebird Records on Edgware Road have got it. Can you go there at lunch and get it? And he said, yeah, I'll go and get it. So he went, he got it, he came home, he said, there you go. He goes, I listened to these, they were playing these in the shop. This was, I think, 1986. And it was, the two records he bought was Adonis, No Way Back.
And
House Music Anthem, Martha Jefferson.
Wow.
And so that's the kind of
there's an education straight away. Somebody came up to me the week and they said, what's this? Oh, it was you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm always waiting for the day for someone to say that to me. You know, what's this? You know, you'd be like, what? Are you serious? So, you know, that's probably the first time I kind of... But I didn't know it as house. We just knew it as dance or this style out of Chicago. And so obviously as time went on, 87, 88, then you kind of started to hear the word house. And, you know, one of the guys that I probably was listening to on the radio back then was Jazzy M, because he had his, probably the first sort of house show in London. And that was from 86, around that time, and I started listening to him and kind of started going to his record shops and buying this thing called house, you know. But as far as remixing, I suppose we kind of were doing, because I was doing stuff with Dave Durrell at the time, we were trying to do house mixes, or we would call it a house mix, but just because you put four to the floor, we would call it a house mix. You know, it might have been 110 BPM, but, you know, so it's kind of wrong in a way, but... You know, I mean, probably the first kind of housey track I did on my own was Korea, Let Me Love You For Tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
For Sleeping Bag. So that was the kind of first, you know, it was 88.
You know what, mate? I'm not being funny now, right? But that record, can I tell you, because obviously I'm for Charlie, as you know, mate, and Charlie's very near Blackburn. And in Blackburn Party Days, mate, that was just... I mean, I even played it on Saturday after you'd left. We played it on Saturday after you'd left.
It was massive.
It's a huge
record. I mean, I remember actually doing the remix and being quite naive and not really knowing what to do. And I listened back to it and think, God, you know, I could have done so much more with that. But obviously back then you just did what you did. And I just think I made it a bit more... a touch heavier on the drums and, you know, I kept it musically as it was. Because that's what remixing was back then. It wasn't actually just... You weren't just send the vocals. You know, nowadays you just send the vocals so you can do a remix. So, you know, really, you're not just doing a remix. You're doing a production. You're writing and, you know, that's the difference. Back then you used to get the multi-tracks with everything on there and you would add and take out what you didn't want and keep... You know, so all the music... and maybe add a bit.
You record under them, mate, so what, honestly, I can't remember. I have actually got it on Sleeping Bag as well, but what did you record under them?
CJ McIntosh.
Was it under CJ McIntosh?
I think so, yeah. It was on the UK tour. It was never on the US one, so it was on the UK one. And I did a couple of dubs and a vocal mix. But, you know, it was never going to be as big as the original. The original was just a seminal track, wasn't it? It was huge throughout the country, but...
Yeah. So what was the catalyst that made you going from being a record-buying teenager to being a DJ? Yeah, good question, Matt.
I always wanted to be a DJ. I think, I reckon I must have been about 11 and I wanted to be a DJ. Listening to the radio and... trying to mix on cassette, you know, doing the old pause and doing stuff like that. And, but obviously, I think when I started, when scratching kind of came in and I found that I could do it, it was kind of a way into the business. And I've never really said it to anyone before in interviews and stuff, because no questions ever been asked, but scratching wasn't something, I didn't want to be a scratch DJ. I was into mixing. You know, before I started scratching, I was following a guy called Froggy around from London. He was mix, mixing stuff. You know, he'd been to Paradise Garage and he'd come back. He'd went to in 79 before I knew him, but he came back and he'd obviously seen Larry Levan and he wanted to take what he'd done over there and bring it here. I didn't know this, so, you know, in a way, I was inspired through Froggy by Larry Levan, you know, but through Froggy. But the way he was mixing records and stuff like that, and I was listening to Tony Humphrey's Kiss FM shows from tape. My friend used to get them from America. I was listening to stuff like that before I was scratching. But when I started scratching, it was suddenly a way into the business because I found I could do it quite well. But I didn't want to do that as a career. I didn't want to be a scratch DJ. I wanted to be a club DJ. So obviously, I did the whole scratching thing, and
you did pretty well out of it, mate. To be fair, let's not. You won the AMC Mixer Championship as well. Just a little contest back then,
I done all right out of it. You know, won the UK A7 thing, and then did the world and messed up. You know, I changed my mix. People said, like, you should have done the same mix as you did in the UK and you would have won it. But in some ways, I probably did better out of not winning it, you know, because there was a lot of people saying, you should have won it, and then giving me work. And the same year, I met Dave Durrell, and that's when the whole thing started with the remix thing. And, well, actually, no, it didn't start with the remix thing. It just started as a scratch DJ thing. And then obviously, we got involved with the whole Mars project, and when it really took off.
Yeah, I mean, that, again, from a... I would say that's another pivotal... from a UK perspective, mate, I mean, I remember buying... There's a few records I remember buying when I was really young. One of them was Crush, House Arrest. Buying that on 12-inch, and I still think that needs a retouch. I'm sure there's some legs in that somewhere. And also, getting Mars as well, that's another thing I remember from, you know, I must have only been 14, 15, something like that. I mean, how did the whole Mars thing come about? How did you meet Dave Durrell?
Well, no, Dave Durrell, after I'd won the UK thing, and then he'd rang me literally maybe a week or two after I'd won it, and he had a band called Nasty Rocks Inc., which was a kind of live rock band, funk band, and Nelly Hooper used to be the DJ in it.
Wow.
But he actually decided to leave, so Dave was
different. That's just unbelievable, that. So he decided to leave and set up a certain other famous band, did he?
Wild Bunch and all that stuff, he went off to do that. And he asked me to come down to the studios and rehearse with them. So I went down there and I found it quite interesting, you know, being a DJ in a live band. And I personally think we were probably the first ones to do it. And so I kind of joined the band and ended up getting a record deal with ZTT Records. And we recorded a whole album. And it came out in 88, but it never really was pushed. Not much happened with it. And then we were dropped, you know, some say ZTT signed us for tax purposes, you know, just to spend a lot of money. I think the album cost like £300,000 to make, something like that.
Really? That's a lot.
Yeah, we had a lot of Ice on there, a lot of, you know, Keith LeBlanc was done all the drums, you know, used to do all the stuff on Sugar Hill, you know, guys like that. We had loads of was doing backing, but, you know, just a lot of different guys on there. But, you know, the album took a long time to make. But obviously, while I was doing that, Dave had a phone call from a friend from Colourbox, who was in Colourbox, Martin Young, and he said, oh, we're doing this track with collaborating with AR Kane, and he was on 4AD, and they weren't getting on. He said, do you want to come down and maybe, you know, try it, put some loops on it, or blah, 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 you know. So Dave actually rang me and said, you know, do you want to come down and do some scratching on this track? And I said, yeah, whatever. You know, where is it? Yeah, he goes, well, I'm going to go to a record shop. I'll meet you there in 2 hours. When I got there, David bought I Know You Got Soul by Araby and Rakim. And he'd actually already taken Pump Up the Volume off it and sampled it. And that was already on there when I got in there. And they were messing about with it. And then I just did a bit of scratching. And that was that. And, you know, I think I was paid £200. There you go, thank you, see you later. And that was that. And then obviously that was the first mix without the samples. It was just quite a basic mix. And then obviously then everyone wanted to remix. Then it was going to be a remix. And we said we should remix it. So that's when me and Dave and the Colourbox guys went back in and we sat there and did the whole remix with all the samples on there.
And that's really early days. What did you produce it on?
What did we produce it on?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we had, to be honest, all the scrap, probably 90% of all the droppings and the scrap was, that was live. I dropped it all in, off turntable.
Onto a multi-track or something?
Sorry?
Onto a multi-track?
Yeah, onto tape, it was a 24-track tape, but we did, the actual whole track was done in 8-bar sections.
Right.
So the first part where, you know, brothers and sisters, on part of the volume, you know, we did that bit for 8 bars, then we recorded, put it onto like half inch, then we did the next bit, then we edited it together. Oh, it went along like that, just loads of edits.
Look at these days of spoil using Ableton.
I know.
But you know what? I was just thinking then, if I'd have looked back now when I was 15 and I was buying it, and I'd be talking to you about how you made it now, nearly 30 years later, because I'm, you know, we're in the
cracking on.
I'm cracking on, Nick, you know what I mean, mate? You just don't expect it to happen, but that's house music history right there, mate. It's such an amazing story. What's new though, mate? Because obviously, you know, you said work-wise you've picked up, which is brilliant. What have you got coming up, mate, and gig-wise and stuff?
I'm in Oxford this Saturday, and there's a night called Bloody Knuckles, and I think it's kind of...
Oh, yeah, send the flyer,
yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a night just in remembrance of Frankie, you know, and they've done a few, and I think it's probably quite... I don't know if it's quite student-y, I'm not sure, but, you know, it looks pretty good, and then I've got quite a few. I mean, I'm at Shine again in Leeds in April, then Groove Odyssey on the night after on the Bank Holiday Sunday for Ministry with Louis and Co. And where else? I mean, there's Hull, I mean, Edinburgh. I don't know, there's quite a few dates coming up, but I'm quite happy with a couple of months I'm quite happy with, you know, it's just... Keeps me busy.
Have you ever thought about getting back into doing a little bit of producing?
Yeah, I have, but I don't know how all the equipment works now.
What are you doing? You're little scratches and we loop it up on Porter and Spain. What did Wolfie say? Did he say, "Return Mr. CJ McIntosh, a wonderful 2.3 million copies of, who was it? Yeah, I can't think of, but anyway, because we were talking about the correlation between DJ remix and an artist, and your name came into conversation when we were chatting about it, mate. So have you got anything to add?
I have interest. Do you prefer playing smaller gigs like you did on Saturday Eddie, or the bigger gig like you did at Ministry?
Well, now I think the kind of smaller gigs are better, because you're getting the people who are coming to see you and yourself, you know, just they know. You know they come see you, where the bigger gigs now tend to be, you know, Ministry, as great as it is now, I mean, it's no offence to Ministry, but, you know, they're going to get a lot of tourists in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, everyone comes over, where should we go? Yes, let's go Ministry, you know. They check it out, you know, they're just going to check it out. It's not a bad thing, but, I mean, last time, a few times I played there, you know, there was a lot of foreigners in there, which is, like I say, it's not a bad thing, but they might not be into the music you're playing, you know, they might have expected something a bit more tech house down that night or...
Yeah.
So, you know, but when you're playing at certain smaller places, you know, the vibe's always better and... I prefer that now. I mean, back in the day it was different, you know, in the 90s, the 80s and the 90s, obviously house was huge, as in it was still developing. People were just getting into it. They didn't know what they liked.
Yeah, well, they didn't know what it was half the time, did they, as well? You know, it was all this new thing that no one had... Because it was really the last true, pure, new house music movement. But there hasn't really been anything since house that has been that music movement which has captured a whole youth, you know what I mean? There hasn't been anything since ever.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's mad how it still, continues to grow, you know. But even, you know, the deep house thing, which they call deep house, which I don't know what it is really, but...
House.
you know, that's huge, you know, people, you know, look, I mean, look, I just look at MK, and I think this guy was, he's bigger now than he was in the 90s.
He was, mate, wait, and it's all down to the same, aren't they? Chris played something in Edit, the last one, before you, and he played something from 16 years ago, weren't it? 16, 17, you played that M people remake.
Oh, yeah, are they moving on up?
Yeah, from like,
1996.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's this? It's like, 20 years old, you know.
It was off the elegantly American remixes package of Elegant Slummy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, but it's great, you know. They want to hear that again, you know. That's,
yeah.
You kind of think, was disco ever as big as this? When, in, say, in the 90s, you know, where now we're like 20 years later, and house is just from that era is just as big now as it was back then.
Yeah.
I don't think disco was. Even though now, this, you look at disco, there's so many disco nights going on, you know.
Yeah.
And people are sampling again, you know, people are sampling all the disco tracks again.
People are sampling the old house tracks again.
Full circle, mate, really.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to hear people sampling, you know, some of the, you know, the disco tracks you hear, you think, oh God, not again, you know, but but it's obviously,
I think you've just thought of a minute, it's crossed out there, man.
Yeah, but these kids doing it, you know, the kids doing it, I haven't heard that disco track before, so they think it's great.
Well, this is the thing.
True, man.
I think when we were listening to, you know, from early house, we were listening to stuff that was essentially disco. I mean, Jackie Bonney was letting old man put us under, wasn't it, essentially?
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's all flavour from something 20 years previously. It's got a constant cycle going on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you kind of wonder when it's going to end, you know.
How many times can you recycle it, can you? That's the thing. How many times can you keep going?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, obviously when you're as old as I am, you know.
Definitely some new musical trends coming through, and that that one that you mentioned to me on the phone the other night, that mix between sort of early trap and Gabba House, Gabin was it called?
Gabby.
I think that's the way forward, mate. Well, listen, it's been a pleasure, mate. Well, we've took enough of your time. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us on the Edit Radio Show today, mate.
No problem, and thank you for having me last Saturday. That was a great night. Thanks, totally enjoyed it.
We'll catch up soon, mate. So thanks very much, pal.
Okay, mate.
So thanks to CJ McIntosh for the last 20 minutes. Just to run over the tracks you heard in the background of that, there was De La Soul, Say No Go. You had Kariah, Let Me Love You For Tonight, the Pumped Up Mix. Then into Pump Up The Volume by Mars. And also Young MC, I Come Off, the Southern Comfort Mix.
You are listening to the Edit Radio Show.
So for the next 40 minutes, you're going to be listening to DJ Evelyn from Head Candy as part of the celebration for the launch of the brand new night at the Milton Club in Manchester, starting Friday the 13th, every fortnight on a Friday. The 6:15 guys take over with live sax, violin, live DJs playing house, funk, deep house and soulful house. More information, check out the website www.615events.co.uk.
Keep it locked. Yeah, I don't want to ask for time.
If you're out and about in Manchester this weekend, Phil and I are headlining at Casa della Musica at Venus in Manchester. So that's Jaeger Rossa and John Fitz, Waxworks, Lewis Barlow, Chris J. Freighter and Wayne B. on percussion. Doors open at 11 until 6 in the morning. Should be a good one.
Radio Network.
Tuned into the Edit Radio Show with Jaeger Rossa, currently in the mix with Head Candy's very own DJ Evelyn.
You're listening to The Edit.
Thank you.
8 o'clock. And don't forget, if you do want to get hold of us, you can do it in a number of ways. You can email us at theeditradioshow@gmail.com. You can tweet us at Jaeger Rossa. You can call us on the phone on 0333 444 808.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Network.
The sound of the global underground.
You were being D Radio Network.
Yeah.
the last 40 minutes you've been listening to DJ Evelyn from Head Candy. Thanks for the mix there, Ev. Mix went something like this. Chris Lorenzo and Hannah Wants, Testify. Romanthony, Illus and Barriottos Remix. Careless by Dusky. Then into Retrospect by Koriki, Illus and Barriottos Remix. What You Do, Mediate, Golden Boy Remix. Into Holding You So Tight, Sure Thing, got some Trunk in the Funk Remix. Then into Ain't Nobody, Torren Foot. Thanks for having us. We've been Jaeger Rosser. Don't forget, if you are in Manchester tomorrow, come and see us down at Venus. And if you're in Manchester the week after, you've got the 6:15 launch party at the Milton Club. If you're listening live, stay locked on. Coming up next is Mr. John Manley.